learning what we were all about. Lieutenant Mergen was happy to have somebody around he outranked. Chapter 9. Across the Screaming Sea. Our black iron coaches roared through Opal's streets, flooding the dawn with fear and thunder. Goblin outdid himself. This time the black stallions breathed smoke and fire, and flames sprang up where their hooves struck, fading only after we were long gone. Citizens stayed under cover. One Eye lolled beside me, restrained by protective cords. Lady sat opposite us, hands folded in her lap. The lurching of the coach bothered her not at all. Her coach and mine parted ways, hers headed for the north gate, bound toward the tower. All the city, we hoped, would believe her to be in that coach. It would disappear somewhere in uninhabited country. The coachman, handsomely bribed, should head west to make new lives in the distant cities on the ocean coast. The trail, we hoped, would be a dead one before anyone became concerned. Lady wore clothing that made her look like a doxy, the legate's momentary fancy. She traveled like a courtesan. The coach was jammed with her stuff, and One Eye reported that a load had been delivered to the Dark Wings already, with a wagon to carry it. One Eye was limp because he had been drugged. Faced by a sea voyage, he became balky. He always does. Old in knowing One Eye's ways, Goblin had been prepared. Knockout drops in his morning brandy did the trick. Through wakening streets we thundered, down to the waterfront, amidst the confusion of arriving stevedores. Onto the massive naval dock we rolled, to its very end and up a broad gangway. Hooves drummed on deck timbers. Finally, we halted. I stepped down from the coach. The ship's captain met me with all the appropriate honors and dignities, and a furious scowl on behalf of his savaged deck. I looked around. The four new men were there. I nodded. The captain shouted. Hands began casting off. Others began helping my men unharness and unsaddle horses. I noticed a crow perched on the masthead. Small tugs manned by convict oarsmen pulled the Dark Wings off the pier. Her own sweeps came out. Drums pounded the beat. She turned her bows seaward. In an hour we were well down the channel, running with the tide, the ship's great black sail bellied with an offshore breeze. The device thereon was unchanged since our northward journey, though Soulcatcher had been destroyed by the lady herself soon after the battle at Charm. The crow kept its perch. It was the best season for crossing the Sea of Torments. Even One Eye admitted it was a swift and easy passage. We raised the barrel light on the third morning and entered the harbor with the afternoon tide. The advent of the Dark Wings had all the impact I expected and feared. The last time that monster put in at Beryl, the city's last free, homegrown tyrant had died. His successor, chosen by Soulcatcher, became an imperial puppet, and his successors were imperial governors. Local imperial functionaries swarmed onto the pier as the Quinquereme warped in. Termites, Goblin called them, tax farmers and pen pushers, little things that live under rocks and shy from the light of honest employment. Somewhere in his back